Go ahead and find your seat, and we're going to move into the announcements here, and sure appreciate you.
Good morning, everyone. Glad you all made it here safe this morning. So excited to be together in the house of God. I love it. Love you guys. A couple of things. Monday night, volleyball, for those that want to get out tomorrow night, 7 p.m., we have adult volleyball in the gym. Saturday night, everybody knows what's happening Saturday night, we get to get together again and do another night of prayer and worship together. So 7 p.m. Saturday night here, put that on your calendar, it's really a good time. A couple other things, maybe you've noticed a table out in the foyer that is not decoration, it's your stuff, okay? Take your stuff. So it's been out there for a little bit. It's going to go bye-bye soon. So please take a few minutes, look through it. There's some good stuff in there that belongs to somebody. You've probably been wondering where that coffee cup is or that sweatshirt or something. Anyway, so please take the time, look through there. Also, there is some VHSs and some cassettes. Our library is going to stop carrying those kind of things. So if you still have those devices, there are some good teachings out there you may have. Take them home. Enjoy them. Okay? So just help yourself to any VHSs, any cassettes. There's some in the Lost and Found. They're yours if you want them. Okay? Also, those that like to rollerblade, we can't store rollerblades in this house. Our building is used by many teams, community, so please, don't keep your stuff here. Take it home, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Also, the kids haven't left yet, but how many notice when the kids leave, it's like, whoo, mass exodus, you know? Like this huge vacuum, which is great. We have an amazing group of teens and kids, but what that means is we need helpers. We need volunteers that can go out with these kids and serve. So please pray about that. See if God wants you to serve in that capacity. If you want to help with teens, contact Steve and Rachel here. If you want to help with the kids, contact Sandra Guthrie. She's already in the back, anxiously ready to take the kids out. So they would love some adult help in these departments. So give it some thought and some prayer. Thanks.
There we go. So I want to take just a second to point out some of the stuff we've been getting some questions off and on. When everybody says you can give online, that's not a magic little place. Nobody knows where it's at. I'll walk through the website here real quick. Google us if you want. akbridgeofhope.com. Go, mama. Go. Click the link. There you go. Go full screen if you want. That's the web page. On the front, right in the middle, give. That's the secret hidden spot. Yeah. Click it. There you go.
Donate
now. Go back to home. We have a Facebook link here right at the beginning. You can use that one. This is the prayer directives for the fast if you lost your copy. There's also a Facebook link there. You can click that. And it probably has me talking right now, if you were to look. So it's right there at the bottom. That's where it is. Go back to the website. So you can, that's Facebook. You can find, you do not have to have a Facebook account. That is a public site. That is not a group. So if you are part of the group, we do not post the sermons, the meetings on the group. They're posted to the public site. You don't need any password for that at all. If you want to be in the group, you got to talk to a groupie, and that's probably Sage or Annie or somebody. That's not me. Okay, the other link is YouTube. You can click on that, and it'll take you right to YouTube. It's got the one going live right now. If you clicked it, don't do that because then you'd have to see me. Okay, scroll all the way to the bottom. Yeah. Okay, I'll face this way. So this is all of our last 15-ish sermons on a recording, audio only. You can pick a link, push it. No, not that. Well, that'll work too. It's all right. Just leave it. It will begin playing a player in your browser. The problem is you can't rewind it. You can't skip ahead. You can't. It's just playing. If you want to skip ahead over at the three little dots, download it. Now you can open it with the media player. You can put it on your G-Wiz cell phone, whatever you want. It's all there to use. So if you have any problems, can't find anything, call me. I will still make CDs if you like a CD to take with you and put in the car. I will make a CD, but I only do that on request. So come find me. Let the kids go. How come you kids didn't do this announcement on how to work computers? All right, all you children, go where you're going to go. I don't know where that is. Fifth grade and under, that way, and teens, all up here.
They need adult volunteers. That's not me, you, or
yeah, I know.
Scott.
He's not in here. Oh, good. I think it would be hilarious to see Matt Adams in children's ministry teaching our kids. Not that he wouldn't do great. I would like to record it and watch it. I think it'd go viral on YouTube. And yeah. Anyway. Dodgeball. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Our kids might tie him up and just throw stuff at him, though, and then that I definitely would want to see. I'm kidding. Yeah. Yep. Everybody doing good? Y'all made it here in the snow or whatever that stuff is outside? Yeehaw. Okay, well, I'm going to pray and get us rolling here. So, Lord, thank you for this day.
Yeah.
You made it,
yeah.
And we're rejoicing in it, Lord, regardless of what we like or don't like. And so, Lord, our hearts rejoice that we're here with you, with each other, and I pray for your leading as I open your word. I pray that you would open our hearts and we would receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so thankful for cameras, but it always makes me feel like I need to go, don't move. Yeah, makeup, oh, jeez. I want to address something really quick. We sang a song during worship, and I love it. I believe in it. But I think it's kind of messed with some of us, me included, of how I used to think or feel. When you think about God being going before you, coming behind you, being on both sides of you, he's your, you know, rear guard, he makes the way for you, you can start to feel almost like nothing bad could ever happen to you. And so therefore, when it does, it can throw you and make you feel like two things, or one of two things often, there's others, but one of two things: either you're out of the will of God, like you missed it and you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, or God's mad at you, or, you know, there's actually several things you could feel about this. But I want to reference a story for you in your Bible. You can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to tell it to you in the Zach version real quick. It's found in Matthew chapter 8. So Jesus is with his disciples. They're making their way across a little bit of a sea. It's also called Lake Gennesaret, but it's a big lake. And oftentimes big lakes, like, you guys familiar with Skelak Lake? Anybody ever been on Skelak Lake? Okay, well, Skelak Lake can become actually quite a dangerous lake. Like, it can get some pretty big waves. And there's a lot of people whose boats have capsized, and you can get into some serious trouble if you don't know what you're doing, or even if you do know what you're doing in a place like that. So this is kind of the situation Jesus is in with his disciples. They're going across a large body of water, and Jesus is asleep in the bow of the boat. And the storm rises up. They're afraid they're going to sink and die. And they freak out. They wake up Jesus. They're like, "Don't you even care that we're going to die?" And Jesus rebukes the storm. Actually, first he rebuked them, said, "Why do you have such little faith?" You know. And then he quiets the storm. My point being this. You can't argue that Jesus wasn't smack dab in the will of God. You cannot argue that God was not angry with Jesus in any way, shape, or form. You can't argue that Jesus wasn't on mission for setting someone free. I mean, they were going over to set free a man who was possessed by more than 5,000, some say 6,000, depending on how you translate the word legion, demons. I don't know how they made that much room in the man, but he's a big man. But he had lots of demons. And yet, Jesus found himself in the middle of a storm. But yet, God was going before him.
Yeah.
He was guarding his right and his right and his left. He was his rear guard. And yet, storm. Potential. Now, I do have to point out that Jesus obviously was not scared. Jesus was obviously not worried that he was potentially going to die. His disciples were. I always tell the story like this. Even if the disciples thought the boat could sink, they should have known Jesus couldn't.
Right.
So, right? I mean, right? Yeah, just hang on to Jesus. Oh, that got a little religious there. So we just got a gear shift. I have to read this to you. Matthew chapter 8, since I'm there, the story that goes before this, this is for somebody, maybe multiple people in here. Starting in verse 1 of Matthew, you can go to Matthew 8, verse 1. There you go. When he had come down, this is he as being Jesus here. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, he was healed, right? Instantly, his leprosy was cleansed. Watch this. This is why this is for you and for me. In the Passion Translation, if you're reading this same story, where it says, "Lord, if you were willing," or if you, King James says, "if thou wilt," the Passion says this, "if you really wanted to, you could heal me." That word willing is the Greek word thelo, T-H-E-L-O, thelo. It means this. It doesn't just mean willing, it means if you loved me enough that I was desirable to you, you would heal me.
Wow.
Completely different than if you could, you would.
Yeah.
If you looked at me and went, "I love this person so much, I desire," actually the word thalo, it breaks into three different parts. One part is the word Iro, I-R-O in Greek. It means to pick up like a stone, like to actually, I don't know the right English word to use. It literally is a picking up, like as if a stone, like a rock. So it could be translated this way. If you loved me enough and desired to pull me close to you, you would actually do something about my situation. Meaning this leper was sitting in such a position of, I'm in this place with leprosy because of God's displeasure toward me. Do you know this? Matthew Henry, who I think Matthew Henry wrote an amazing devotional commentary on the Bible, but he says this about the disease of leprosy. He says, leprosy in Jesus' time, more than any other disease, was seen as God's displeasure toward the person with leprosy. It was a disease that was seen as God's displeasure toward a person. It was also seen as judgment for sin of the parents. That's why when a leper came to be healed by Jesus and his disciples said, which one of these sinned, Lord? Was it this man or was it his parents that this man, he was born blind, but these different diseases that were plaguing people were often seen as things that people were given because of God's displeasure, because of how they either lived or how their parents lived. So oftentimes, watch this, because you need to understand what this leper was going through. Leprosy not only was seen as a disease of God's displeasure toward people, it was a super unclean disease that would cause people to be cast away. So in other words, once leprosy reached a certain point that people began to recognize that person has leprosy, even their own family would go, you need to go live somewhere else. There's leper colonies out there. Yeah, there you go. It's like COVID of Jesus' day. But even worse, because body parts fall off. But, yeah. And it's real. Oh, God. Sage. We do know that COVID is real. We're not saying it's not real. We're just saying it's not as... Anyway, I got to tell you. That just went out live on internet. The opinions associate... No, just kidding. Yeah, we get our information from Matt Adams. No, I'm kidding. Today is Pick on You Day. You were out of here, so I told everybody you'd make a great children's worker, and I wanted recordings of it. Actually, I've watched him. He's a good... I call him G-Paul, like, because he's not a grandpa. He's a G-Paul. He's a good grandpa. But anyway. Thank you. Put me back on track. Leprosy. Here we go. At some point, families even start pushing those who have leprosy away. So it's said that this man who approaches Jesus and say, Jesus, if you looked at me through eyes of love to the point that you desired me enough to pull me close to you, you could actually heal me and do so. This man more than likely had not felt the touch of another human being in years. Because, I don't want to get like, oh my gosh, shut up. But I needed to just go a little bit into this so that you understand leprosy. Leprosy was not just like sores. They were constantly open and oozing, if you will. Sorry, I know it's a little bit graphic, but it's part of what made that's when it's most contagious is when it's weeping, when it's, because it can get on you and mix with your, like if you had a sore or, you know, whatever, that's why people were super careful. You do know that you can actually touch somebody with leprosy and you don't instantly get leprosy. Just like somebody with AIDS, if you touch somebody with AIDS, it's not like, oh, you got AIDS, like cooties or something, but, oh, that would stink so bad. Anyway, yeah, bad trail there. Leprosy, not been touched in ages. So for him, he was told, more than likely, this is my story, so I'm going to tell it this way. Let's say I'm, Caden, you have leprosy. You don't, but let's say you did. Yeah, right? That's a good way. Most of your life, let's say you're in your 20s, 30s, whatever. Most of your life, you're told this. You have that because God doesn't like you. God's mad at you because of how you live and what you do. And because of that, it's why you're dealing with what you're dealing. So you need to get away from me. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Yeah, you can look at me. Do you understand, though? Like, this is more than just, man, the guy had sores to the point that potentially it breaks down skin, sinew, like parts start falling off. It literally, people's appendages would begin to potentially fall off their body. Doesn't mean that it always happened that way, but it could. And this person was pushed away and told, God doesn't like you. Fact, he doesn't even want to be near you. He doesn't. He hates you. Look at what you're going through. He must really... Do you see how this works? Now, watch this. Do you know that more than any other... I didn't know I was going to do this today. More than any other disease in your Bible, leprosy is the most talked about. It is the most healed by Jesus more than any other disease that is talked about in the Bible, leprosy. Now, the relevance of leprosy to you and I today is about, and I don't mean that like nobody cares, nobody. I just mean, I don't know anybody with leprosy. There is still leprosy. It is alive and well in the world. Yeah, and so I'm not like, that's why I'm saying, I'm not trying to belittle it or say, but as far as I'm concerned, quite honestly, cancer to me is more prevalent in my view than leprosy. It touches more lives as far as my own sphere and world, but yet leprosy is the most talked about, the most healed in all of the Bible. It's full in the Old Testament. There's loads of places of leprosy. And in the New Testament, loads of places of leprosy. Why? How's that relevant to me? Unless there's a place that we can get to that we actually get a leprous conscious. That leprosy begins to... Not like, don't think about it from a physical leprosy. Think about it from the standpoint of God is displeased with me, and that's why this is happening. Right. And I don't want to get too close to you because what I have might actually get on you. Right. Oh, we're going to go way into this right now. Ready? Here's what I learned, and you probably learned, and I want to kick a giant hole in right now. Where's that? It's found in your Bible. It's in I believe it's John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It is, definitely. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. He starts out by saying this, I have to go, but it's good for you that I go. And they're going, what? No, you can't leave, you're Jesus. And we need you. Like, who would we be disciples of if you're gone? They didn't say that, but he's like, okay, I got to leave, and it's good for you that I go. And he begins to talk to them about Holy Spirit. But before he does that, because he's already talked to them a little bit about Holy Spirit, he says this, I am going somewhere to prepare a place for you. Where I'm going, you can't come yet. Right? And his disciples start asking questions like, well, where are you going? What do you mean we can't go? Like, I'll go. Where you go? Wherever you go, I'll go. You know, this type of stuff. And he says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. Right? You guys, what verse is that? Anybody? Verse 3. I almost said 14:3. I would have been right on point. In my Father's house are many mansions. So how many of you in this room learned it this way? Jesus was going off to this distant place we call heaven. And it's this giant, like he put on his carpenter's belt, and not really, but that's kind of the picture, is, right? Yeah, he's like, mansion. Yeah, mansion. But they weren't row houses, because they're all different, because my mansion's different than yours, and yeah. Anyway, right? Did you learn all this? So that one day, when I die, I get to have a mansion. And my mansion's going to be down by a river. And right? We sing songs about stuff like this. Yeah. Right? When we all get there, we're going to meet down by the river. I don't know the words, but I know it's something like that. I went to church once. Right? Do you guys remember these thoughts? Okay. I am not, like, saying it's absolutely wrong, but I am saying this. I do believe that this thought pattern is so rampant, especially in the Western, like America, evangelical, modern church, is everything will get better when we make it to heaven, finally. So I have a question for you. What is heaven? Like, I don't need you to answer it, but I need you to think about this a minute. Is heaven to you a distant, far-off place that you will, you know, you secured your position in heaven, your mansion was built when you actually asked Jesus to come and be Lord and Savior of your life? I mean, this is, I'm not throwing rocks at anything. This is how I believed. And I'm not saying it's absolutely wrong, just saying it's not complete. So I want to bring a little bit more clarity to something that I believe is actually crippling us today. I do fully believe that there is in existence heaven. Can I tell you what heaven is? Wherever God is, that is heaven. I'll go to so far as to say this. He is heaven. Watch this. I'm going to practice my Greek. I don't know Greek. In my Father's house. That word house is the Greek word abode. It's actually, it breaks down smaller than that, and I can't, my mind's not going to let me go there right now, but it is not a physical house like we think of, like, because the same word is used in the, I can't think of the chapter right this second, but Jesus said this, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer, same word. When he talks about there's room in my Father's house, the word tabernacle is the same word. It is the same root word. It's the same idea. It is not like, you know, I'm going to go to heaven, and God's going to have this great big house, and our houses are going to be like kind of planted around somewhere near it. And so we can like wave at God as we go to work, you know, building angel wings. I don't know, whatever. We're not really doing that. But I just am we get a lot of ideas from Hollywood. We get a lot of ideas from just like we read, and I think this is what it looks like, whatever. But here's what we've done. We are seeking a kingdom without a king. Here's what I mean. Our whole goal is to get to a place, and it's kind of the whole focus of everything we talk about in Christianity, at least in my view, in America, is, are you going to heaven? Are you going to make it to heaven? Is, if you died today, do you know that you're going to make it to heaven? If you die, and we miss the idea, if we are seeking a kingdom for the principle of a kingdom, heaven, without the presence of the king being the goal, we're actually setting you up for something that isn't even right or real. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Watch this. John chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus says this. No one has been to heaven except for the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. What? Read it. Oh, there it is. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. What? Watch this. Let me tell it to you like this. No one has been to my house except for me, who came from my house, Zach, who's at my house.
Yeah.
Does that make you go, wait, what? What? I don't understand. I would have been, help! Jesus, pick me! Help! I don't get it, because I'm your disciple, and if I go out there and start telling people stuff like this, right? We're going to have the smallest church in all of creation. Come follow me. Really, who do you serve? Jesus, that guy over there? Yeah, but he's in heaven. Okay. Unless Jesus understood something that you and I haven't quite gotten a hold of yet. According to Ephesians, Ephesians says, we have been seated in heavenly places with him. Seated now, presently, in heavenly places. How? Because Jesus said this, I am going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. Now, watch. Jesus, I'm taking on a bit of a journey here, but just stick with me. In John chapter 19, 20, 21, I don't know. My mind's not going to let me do that yet. It's when Jesus is resurrected. Mary Magdalene shows up to the tomb. Actually, there was three women, but Mary Magdalene's the one who it's referenced that she actually wanted to touch the Lord after he was resurrected, and he said this, woman, do not touch me. Woman was not a derogatory term at the time. If you see my wife and you call her woman, we're going to have a problem. But at the time, the term, when Jesus said things like, you know, the wine ran out at the party, the marriage feast, and Mary comes to him and says, Jesus, we're out of wine. He says to his mama, woman, my time has not yet come. That was not derogatory. It reads derogatory, but it was not actually derogatory. So when, and I'll tell you that story maybe a little bit later, I'll try. Mary goes to potentially touch Jesus. Jesus says, don't touch me. It is John 20. I knew it was somewhere in there. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. Potentially what it looks like to me is she was going to, wrap herself around him and hug him. And he was like, hold on, I have not yet ascended to the Father, because he needed to pour his blood out upon the mercy seat to make propitiation for your and my, to make it, I don't even like the word legal, because it's not a contractual agreement. It is to make it possible for you and I to enter boldly into the throne room of God and say, Daddy. That is the reality of what. So Jesus says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. This is, again, a bit of my opinion, I suppose, but I think I'm right. I believe that when he poured his blood upon the altar, he went to prepare a place so that you and I could live inside of God just like Jesus lived inside of God. Yeah. I'm going to where my Father is so that I can prepare a place for you to dwell and live. Here's the crux maybe of this whole idea. Back to where I started in John 14. John 14, verse 16, maybe? I don't know. It's you'll see it in just a second if you're in John 14. He says this. can you go to John 14 for me real quick and go to verse... He's talking about you'll do greater things. Yeah, that's the helper. Oh, so it's before that. Go 13. No, before that, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, let me prove something to you really quickly. I've always looked at this and kind of gone, wow, that's a pretty big statement. It's pretty big shoes to try and fill. Do we understand, and I think we all know, that Jesus was fully God. He is the Son of God, but yet fully, it says that he did not... the equality he had with God, he didn't pull on that portion. So in other words, he set aside himself being God with all the same power as God and put on flesh so that he could show the world what a man who is fully living inside of the Father, dependent on the Father, could actually live like on the earth. Yes. Otherwise, if Jesus did everything he did as God, it's still amazing, but it relegates me to nothing more than a spectator.
Right.
Going, yes, God, that's awesome. Do it again.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
But if he did what he did to show me how, and now pulls me into a whole new thing where I begin to, I don't like the word strive, but I begin to strive for positioning myself to live in him continually. So everything I do is about maintaining presence in my life instead of trying to get to a kingdom one day in principle. But living, thank you, living positionally, this is what it means to be seated in heavenly places. It is not about being seated up there.
Right.
It's about being in him.
Yes.
That's why you can simultaneously be here and be in him at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not about being up there. It's about being right here, right now, and positioned in him. And even when I'm positioned in him, I might be in storms. I might be in difficult times. I might have hardships. I might be broke. I might be whatever. or everything may be amazing and beautiful and wonderful and perfect. Take your pick. I wish it was that easy.
I'm going to go over here. I like this one better.
No, I'm just saying. But anyway, so now let me give you a little bit of biblical proof, at least in my view, of how this all kind of plays out in person. In Matthew chapter, no, it's not. That's not where it's at. It's in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is, this is just a story I'm going to tell you. You don't have to turn there because I'm just going to reference it. But Jesus is, I believe that's where the woman that we call the woman with the issue of blood is found. And it says that she said within herself, if I can only get to him, touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. You guys remember this story? Okay. She goes, works her way through a crowd. There was such a heavy crowd that Jesus, he had to get there. She touches his hem of his garment. She's instantly healed, right? Yeah. Acts chapter 19. I think it's around verse 2. It says that they would actually cut off the aprons that Paul wore to build tents. And they would take handkerchiefs and stuff that had anything that had touched his body, and they would actually send it out and send it to people who were demon possessed, oppressed by the enemy, or sick, or something going on that way. And when they would receive these things, people would carry them, lay them on their bodies, and they would be instantly healed, or they would be free of demonic possession. Or whatever, these things took place. Let me share the difference with you. One, Jesus is the one who people got to. The next step was, my stuff is so saturated with this position of being in him that it just gets sent out to people and people start getting free. I'm not trying to be weird or create some sort of like new doctrine, we need to start cutting off our clothes and sending them to people. Though, if God tells you to do that, go ahead. I'm just saying, like, we need to get this picture that there, and that's not the only, like, Peter, we know, walked by a man and his shadow, and it's actually not his, it is his shadow, but it's, the word is actually, it would be better translated this way, his aura, not trying to be new age or weird, but his effervescence, virtually, like what he was carrying inside of him passed by. You know, kind of like when they were waving these banners down here and you could feel the wind blowing off of them, that is sort of the idea. Like what I am pushing out of me is getting on you, right? Otherwise, we'd be like, oh, crud, the sun, move over here, move over. Okay, the shadow's going to hit right there. Okay, perfect. So, oh, God, the sun, oh, the clouds, oh, my, I mean, come on. It wasn't about a shadow. It was about, the thing that's actually following me wherever I've been is now touching others. That's what a shadow is. I mean, it can be in front of you, I suppose, but for the most part, it. Depending on where the light is. Aha. Put the light ever before you, and where's your shadow? Always behind you. So everywhere I go, because I'm in the right position with the light, what's behind me is leaving a trail of healing. Ooh, I like that. Okay, I'm going to get to my sermon now. I haven't even opened it yet. Oh, this is good, and you need to hear this. I actually wrote this for the teenagers. But you can have some, too. So, strongly, I want to say this. Do not let anyone not me, not anyone, try to push you into a place of ministry or serving God based upon what you are good at. This is what we often do. A person is really good or talented at something, therefore that must be the gift of God in their life. It must be the call of God. It could be, but not necessarily. Otherwise, like, what do we need? Forgive my statement, but what do we need God for if I'm figuring it all out and whatever he put in me and I'm good at, you know? I mean, I could have went pro in football, but... but I'd have got crushed, though. I'm just kidding. Yeah, that definitely wouldn't have been. That would have had to be God, right? Yeah. Yeah. What are you saying? I felt this really strongly over Sean and Corey. I need to tell you that, you know, especially as twins. I'm not a twin, but I saw one on TV once. Twins often get lumped into this thing of kind of one does this, the other one's probably going to do that. One's good at this, the other one's probably good at that. And I know there's things that you're both different and good at and different things, but don't let anyone try to tell you what you should or should not do based on how good or bad you are at it. It may be the absolute worst thing to you, like I can't. Honest, me, public speaking, hated it. Absolutely was the nope. In school, if I could write a book report instead of standing in front of a class and speaking, I'll write 1,000 pages to not have to speak in front of people. Because I hated it. I thought it was absurd and ridiculous. I would have never in a million years thought I would be doing what I'm doing. Not in a million years. So, leave yourself open for whatever God leads you to do, not based on your height, not based on your good looks, not based on, right? Yeah, you should grab that one. Anyway. So, the rest of you now, welcome back. This is kind of the way I saw it. And this actually started with you this morning. Jay talked about, he was sharing with us the wind in a banner or a flag. He could hear it, and I actually could hear it as well. And then I saw sails, and I was actually going to talk to you about this, but I didn't get a chance to because I'm not a sailor, so I don't really know much about sailing. But, we babysit the Navy. Anyway. I'm playing. Negative. No. Yeah. They were like, can you guard our ships? We can't. So I have a soft spot for being a Marine. Anyway. So... now watch, there's going to be a Navy SEAL that shows up at my house. Like, hey, heard you want to die. No, not really. Let me give you Matt Adams' address. I had to, one more. Okay. Back over here. Sales. So I had this thought of our giftings or our abilities. You ever seen anybody kite surf or parasail or do any of that type of stuff? Even sails, they can be lots of different colors, sizes. I know when you painted the ship, the Lord gave you storm sails, and I'd never heard of that, but they're real. And so there's different times and different reasons why you need different size of sails. There's loads of different colors of sails, all these different things. But without any wind, they're just cool to look at, right? So, like, if we're in a safe harbor, safe haven, and there's no wind blowing, and everybody's got their sails up, it'd be like, wow, this is really cool. It's colorful. This is kind of how I see church sometimes. I'm not trying to be derogatory. I'm just saying a lot of us throw our sails up at church, and you know, we're putting our gifts out there, and they're great. But sails are meant to catch wind. Your gift, your call, is meant to catch the breath of God to take you where you need to go. Yeah. Not to just throw up whenever you think you're good at something and go, here's my sail. Yeah. Ooh, singing? Pick me. I can sing. Here's my sail. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you're the drummer. Maybe you need to work in kitchen. That's a great point. Throw your sail up. Oh, come on. Who's the next mayor in here? Somebody needs to run for mayor of Anchorage in here. No, don't look at me. I ain't doing it. I am not a politician.
You said that about speaking.
Jeez, help me. I choose... Caleb, you can be the next mayor. Yeah. Natalie's like, that sounds good, sure. Throw your sail up, husband. Let's catch the wind. I just had this picture of Natalie grabbing the rope. Get the sail up! Trying it off and try to get that knot out. Don't drink. So, if you didn't write this down before, I wanted to say it one more time so you can write it down. Our gifts are meant to catch the breath of God.
Yeah.
Our gifts without the breath of God will only impress people of my skill and not bring glory to the Father. That's what we're ultimately supposed to. By the things we do, they're supposed to bring glory to God, not glory to me. So I've often wondered, in fact, I've had conversations with God at times, wondering about people who I know their lifestyles. I could name some names, but I will not. Some fairly big name people who maybe knowingly are living in a position of sin, but yet there's still something like anointed about what they say, and they can move the hearts of people and stuff. And I believe the Lord showed me that's the difference between talent and anointing. Talent brings glory to you. Anointing brings glory to me. That's why somebody who's anointed, you really don't even need to know their name.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to know their name often, but the truth is, what it should be doing is directing you to the Father, not like, wow, I want to be, to steal a term from Ben, a groupie. Right? Not something we want to be. Okay. I think I'm ready to wrap this up. Oh, yeah, I will. Okay, this is where I'll wrap it up. I was trying to find a place to jump off here. I was thinking about the word host, because we're told in the Bible to host. We talk about it a lot, hosting the Spirit of God, hosting God, And I thought about, what exactly do we mean by that when we say it? Because, if I'm going to host Jay at my house, I'm probably going to find out what he likes to eat, if he has allergies, maybe he's on a certain diet or a fast, or maybe he already ate dinner and he just wants to come over and talk. Or you understand? I'm going to find out all I can to make sure that I hate to say entertain, I know in the definition of host that honor is, I have the definition actually in my head and I'm trying to get rid of it. To honor is a great word. How I can most honor and bring honor to who you are and my value for you. So when we do what we call hosting the presence or hosting God, it is literally supposed to be about positioning all that we are toward Him in a way that brings all honor and value to who He is, and not what can I get from you. And this is why the kingdom of God is difficult for us sometimes, because it's a kingdom that works in reverse. If I want to live, I got to die. If I want to receive, I got to give. If I want to be first, I got to be last. These type of things. And so the kingdom of God kind of short circuits our thinking as far as our fleshly thinking. Because to me, if I want to be first, I'm going to be the best. If I want to get, financially stable, I'm going to keep every penny. If I want, and so my flesh is at war with this thing, and if I want to host God, I got to push that away and go, Lord, how do you want me to do it? How do you want me to use this gift that you gave me? Put your breath on the sail, because I don't want to be under. Sorry, but that's what I can see us doing. My sail, it's not working. Anyway. Okay, I said I was going to close. I do want to say that I'm so thankful to live in this community of not just Chugiak, but the community of believers that we are in. I believe that all of our hearts are to do the best that we can to host the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God, to bring honor and value to all that He is and all that He desires for all of us to do. I believe that I have never met nor seen a group of people that live as selflessly as this group of people here. And my heart is so thankful to be, like I said, even living here with you. I feel like I could live anywhere in the world, but I choose to live here. I don't know how else to say what's in my heart. Eileen, I saw you playing up on the platform, and I got this, it literally made me weep as I was sitting here. I don't know if you noticed, but sometimes you stomp your foot as you're playing, and I saw you, this is how I saw it. It was almost like, God, if I could give you more of what I'm doing, I don't know how. It was like your flesh was going, I don't know how to be more passionate than this. I don't know. I want to make this instrument do what I'm trying. And it wasn't frustration. It was passion and just like this everything. I mean, watching Annie worship, it's like she lets go and it's like, same thing. I just see her like, if I could make my voice do more than this, I would. I'm watching, and it's not just those two. I'm watching the whole worship team. And I don't know who had the word. Was it Annie about the swirling? I watched the whole worship team get caught up in a swirl in, I don't know what language it is. It's either Greek or Hebrew. The word is perichoresis. It is where we get the word performance and the word not carousel. It's choreography. It is a choreographed dance, that swirl. It's the same word that is used in the triune being of God. It is a perichoresis. And in the garden, when man was created, we stepped into the perichoresis of God, the ever-spinning, choreographed, beautiful circle dance with God. And when man stepped out of that position, he stepped out of that dance. And the whole time, God has been drawing us back into the perichoresis, the spinning circle choreographed dance with him. And I saw, as I'm watching the worship team, I'm seeing this spinning and people are stepping in and they're being caught up in the swirl of like, how do I give more? How do I like play harder or sing more or be more passionate? And whether you saw it, felt it, or knew it or not, I was watching this whole thing unfold in front of me. And so today, I believe that every one of us have an opportunity to step into what I just called the perichoresis of God, and this dance, this choreographed, beautiful dance that God wants to bring us into and involve us in, not just have us sit back and watch and go, yay, this is a great dance, but to actually be drawn into it. So everybody stand up with me. I want to give you an opportunity today. I believe that we are standing in a profound opportunity and a profound time that is not normal. It is not just like any other day. We have an opportunity right now, and I'm not saying if you miss it, you miss it. I'm just saying that it's here, and we need to take advantage of it. We need to step into that perichoresis and allow it to enrapture us into the position of our sails being open and the breath of God blowing. So I just invite you right now, if you want, you just begin to come and come into this altar and seek God. Ask Him to enrapture you into that perichoresis. Ask Him to take you into that circle dance, that place. I believe that He wants to show you today where your sails need to be set, that the breath of God is blowing, and we need to know where, what direction our sails need to be set in to catch that, when to pull anchor, when to, all those things. And I believe that He desires to do that right now, right here, today. So would you just come and receive from Him? Thank you, Lord. If you don't want to come down, that's fine. You can do this at any point, but you need to take advantage of this while you can right now. And otherwise, you're dismissed. We're just going to pray down here. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.